Yep.
Bo Hess.
And now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Isaiah, this was your night. Come February 11th, you might have to wait till next year. Listen, on February 11th, the night I get my jersey retirement, I'm not sure I want to look up at the Jumbotron and see Isaiah highlights. I had a chance to watch Kobe's, and throughout the game, the timeouts, it was a lot of tribute videos for him, and I enjoyed to watch that throughout the game. Now, hopefully, you know, the Boston Celtics will do that for me. I'm not sure if I want to see an Isaiah video that night. Your video tribute should be sent to you on Twitter or Instagram. Like, they could have did the Jay Crowder tribute on the gram.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call, and Happy New Year's. I just want to be real quick. So I just want to say a few things. The Celtics, man, they're being neutered by Isaiah Thomas. They need to grow some, you know what I mean. But I get Paul Pierce. Who wants to get their jersey retired and look at Isaiah Thomas? Come on, be real. No one wants to look at him. I get his point. Another thing, Jason Tatum, I remember you guys laughed at me when I said he's a combination of Paul George and Kevin Durant. How do you feel about him now? And with the Patriots, it's Tom Brady.
No. We're going to stop. I mean, why'd you stop there, Brandon? Why'd you say he's a combination between Oscar Robertson and Michael Jordan?
Yeah, I'd go further, yeah.
Robinson, sorry. Like, why not? Like, a cross between Paul George and Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Well, that's too much?
No. Oh, you think? No.
I told you, I like Tatum, though. I mean, who doesn't, right? We all like Tatum. Good player. But, you know, let's see how it goes. I love the kid, though. I think he's going to be terrific.
Okay, one of the things that blew me away is that, and not from Maz, because I know Maz, how Maz approaches things, but I was stunned to hear the national reaction to the Celtics win last night, which was really brushing it off. Like, nothing has changed. How it's still just Cleveland and Golden State in the finals, and it's just Cleveland treading water, biding their time till they have to turn it on in the playoffs when they will, and they'll go meet Golden State. And Isaiah Thomas, what does he mean versus Golden State? And even just brushing off the fact that what I think has happened is the Celtics have caught him, and the Cavaliers are going to need Isaiah Thomas to beat the Celtics. Never mind, you know, give Golden State a series. They're going to need Isaiah to come back and be great to beat you. I think everyone's missing that, nationally anyway. But Maz disagrees, and I think Jim and Weymouth disagrees. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, listen, the national media is wrong in this aspect, I agree with you. They're underestimating the Celtics. But listen, Maz is actually not quite off the deep end to be a little bit skeptical. I mean, at one point during the game, the Celtics were up by like 9. And other than Korver and LeBron, they were like 10 for 50-something. So if any of those guys even hit a little bit, that's a closer game, and LeBron James plays, and that game can go either way.
Sure. Well, Jim, I mean, you can play that game all night long. You think Kyrie Irving's going to score 11 points the next game?
No.
So, I mean, you could do that on both sides.
But what I'm saying is that he's not totally off the deep end. I mean, the Celtics have won some big ones, right? But they've also lost some big ones to the Eastern Conference teams that they have no business losing. Well, not no business, but you know, the Wizards, that was a tough loss, man. Like, they were ripe to really stake their claim in owning the East.
Is anyone here worried about the Bullets in the playoffs? No.
Hey, there's your answer.
Right, so that game means nothing, because you know you've passed the Wizards by leaps and bounds.
You think that game means nothing? I think that game means more than last night's did.
Oh, see, I think just the opposite. The Celtics are clearly better than the Wizards. You don't think so?
What was the end run of that game for the Wizards? How many did they rip off in a row?
Yep. No.
12, 16 in a row to win that game at the end?
Compare the rosters, Maz.
I'm telling you, I don't think the Celtics are that much better than the Wizards.
I honestly,
I think the Wizards also have a bug up their butt about losing to the Celtics last year. I think they could totally knock off the Celtics.
I don't.
I'm with Maz on this one.
I'm not.
And I worry about Toronto, too.
I don't.
No, Toronto.
Stop with this.
Toronto I don't worry about. I get off the boat there.
Stop with this.
Okay.
So, like, it's not everybody. Not like everybody can beat the Celtics. Just my 2 cents.
I'm just covering my tail so when the playoffs and the Celtics are an early out, so Felger doesn't go, oh, who told me about the Raptors? I warned you about the Toronto.
It's you and Cleveland.
The Bullets would be a competitive series, but you have a better overall
roster.
Of course,
because Wall's going to go off one night. Beal's going to go off one night. They'll have some home games, so it'll be a 6-game series. I'm not telling you you're going to...
Seven.
It's not a. I don't think it's a 7-game. I don't think the Wizards are close to you. I think you've blown right by them, and you've caught Cleveland. But to be so dismissive, like, can we play Van Gundy again at the end of the game? Here's Van Gundy at the end of the game on the ESPN broadcast. Now, because again, ESPN the levels, I mean, they like the game is too loud and the announcers are too quiet. You got to pay attention a little bit to hear Van Gundy. But he is totally dismissive here of the Celtics.
Impossible to gauge what the Cavs are going to be as Crowder goes in until Isaiah Thomas comes back, plays several weeks. I mean, he could really, obviously, he's going to make a big difference.
Mike, in the playoffs, they're the clear-cut favorite to me.
Over Boston.
Over Boston, over Toronto. Over Toronto.
Clear-cut?
Clear-cut.
Even with their sporadic defense? I just want you to say clear-cut again.
Clear-cut. Now, I would say this. Boston and Toronto are, like, they want to get that number one seed to avoid Cleveland until the conference finals. But just like last year, Boston was the number one seed. I think Boston has a better team this year, better potential. But Cleveland rested, and LeBron James, good luck.
Good luck. Like, he's just so dismissive. Which, so, I mean, you can still think that Cleveland's a favorite. Like, that's not an outrageous take, and I don't even, you know, so I might disagree with you, but, you know, yeah, Cleveland's a slight favorite over Boston. I think Boston's a slight favorite over Cleveland. You know, fine. But, I mean, you don't agree with Van Gundy, where he's clear cut.
I don't think it's a blowout like it was last year, no, but I think Cleveland is the favorite in the conference.
So yeah. Dismissive. Clear cut. Like, Boston and Toronto, they don't want the three because they don't want to face Cleveland in the second round.
You can hear his nose turned up to even
exactly.
The thought of anyone other than Cleveland coming out of the East.
He's like, just like last year, they'll be the number one seed. They'll be the number one seed. There's more potential, but LeBron and Cleveland rested, clear cut. Like, to be that dismissive of the Celtics is, I guess, what I'm talking about.
Okay, other than Kyrie, what proven playoff performer do the Celtics have?
Well, they don't.
I mean, we can agree.
But there's more talent
yes, for
there.
Sure.
It's not a team full of hacks like Jarebko and Kelly Olynyk and Amir Johnson.
Now, the Celtics are so much better than they were last year.
Because of Kyrie.
And, right, of course. And Cleveland's taking a step back.
Yeah.
Okay, so like that.
So the gap is smaller.
Oh, my God.
But there's still a gap.
But I think Van Gundy's still treating it like it's last year. He said it just like last year. Okay, so the Celtics will be the number one seed. There's more potential, but.
Yeah, so I don't think it's last year. I don't, because Kyrie alone will prevent it from being last year.
And Tatum is a factor. I'm not banking on Tatum every night in the playoffs because he's so young. But that is a difference. That is a difference.
Okay, but again, I come back to the original point. I don't extrapolate anything from last night's game. That's all. I feel about the Celtics the way I felt at the beginning of the season.
I'm extrapolating the entire season.
After I amended my 43-win prediction.
You also said yesterday you need to see them win by 15 points, and then they win by 14, and you give them nothing.
Well, I assume that Cleveland would show up on the night they win by 15.
Big mistake by you.
They should have won that game by 25 last night.
So now they underachieved because they didn't win by enough.
No, I love, too, how you guys talk about Kevin Love. Like, what are you going to get out of...
does he suck?
Yeah, what are you going to get out of Kevin Love in the playoffs? Meanwhile, Al Horford's 1-15 in his postseason career against LeBron. 1-15.
How many games did he play against LeBron with Kyrie?
Well, now there's a guy you can bank on against the Cavs. Al Horford, the guy that Murray has named the magician,
for crying out loud. That was last year.
Because he disappears. All of a sudden, Al Horford has turned into freaking, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the post, for crying out loud.
He plays well with Kyrie, and
that
you
was
know
last year, his nickname now is Solid Al.
You've been talking about it all year, how beautifully those two play together.
Yeah, sometimes.
I love how you had to walk back all your positive Celtics takes now.
No, really. I mean, in the playoffs,
you've been pumping Jason Tatum. You've been pumping Jason Tatum all year. You've been talking about Kyrie and Al Horford about how brilliantly they play together. You've been talking about all these things, but now that we're in this, you've got to sort of walk those back.
I'm not walking back anything. I told you the 43 wins. I was wrong about. They're better than that. They're clearly better than that. Cleveland in the postseason. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the Celts have caught him. I think if that series is in the Boston Garden Game 7, you're winning and you're going to the finals. It's at least close. And to hear national guys, like, not even give it that, like, the commentary after last night's game should be, yeah, you know, I still like Cleveland. What's the name of the play-by-play guy? Bream? Sid, what's his name? Whatever. Van Gundy should be saying to the play-by-play guy, yeah, I still like Cleveland, LeBron, and when they have the rest, that's a dangerous team. But this Celtics team, you know, they've closed the gap and we're going to have a series. Like, that to me feels like the reasonable place to be. Instead of just completely dismissing the Celtics? Completely, after Van Gundy just watched firsthand them curb stomp the Cavs. Not just beat them, curb stomp them.
By 14 is a curb stomp?
They're up 17. Yes.
You wanted 15.
My God.
To take it seriously.
That's
yes.
A, that's not a curb stomp.
Maury, what am I supposed to do?
Oh,
that
my
game
God.
Wasn't a curb stomp.
What am I supposed to do with
14 that? Points in the NBA is not a curb stomp.
That wasn't
I'm sorry.
A curb stomp. Please.
So now Jimmy's
so
not,
now did it need to be 25?
Where's Stu? Like,
no, because there was a point in the game where Cleveland was trailing by 14, and LeBron just tapped out.
Yes.
So if LeBron plays harder, if it's a postseason game,
well, it's a big
if it's a game that means something to LeBron, he eliminates that 14-point lead.
Maybe.
You have nothing to stop LeBron right now.
Okay.
Morris sucked. Morris was brought here
he's still
to defend LeBron
knee.
Last night. He sucked.
When did you start pooping green is what I want to know. When did you start farting green mist?
Mass. I was high on the Celtics. I'm a slave to the scoreboard. It's just funny how this works.
So am I in the playoffs. They get their asses kicked.
They win and play well, I say good things, and they lose and play poorly, I say bad. It's just I'm very predictable that way.
I know. I have a hard time getting past these games that mean something that are called the playoffs. I have a hard time getting past those that when they play the Cleveland Cavaliers, they get absolutely freaking pasted. They get stepped on and rubbed into the ground like a butt. That's what it is. They get absolutely freaking stepped on. So will that happen this year? Probably not, but I don't know if they're going to win. I still have a hard time believing they're going to win.
I think February 12th we'll be having a different conversation.
Okay, we'll see.
Freaking Green Hornet hosting Felger and Mazz.
I just hope the little fella gets his video, because Lord knows, I want to make sure he gets his due.
And he won't. He'll be traded.
And that Pierce is okay with the video going up there, because Lord knows, I certainly want to take care of Paul Pierce and his one championship that someone else won for him.
The Green Hornet.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
But the smoke clear. Isaiah waved hello. LeBron was great, but he had no company. And the Cavs, with nobody helping LeBron, were no match for what the Celtics had for them tonight. But the Celtics win it. They win it going away. All the drama tonight was off the court. The final score, Boston 102, Cleveland 88.
Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I was going to talk about something, but I want to make a couple of comments now that you talk about it. The reason Cook is not good here is Brady sucks at the long pass. End of story. Number one. Number two, the reason that the Red Sox didn't get Stanton, the Jeter would not trade him to the Red Sox unless it was a friggin' deal that no team would ever make. You guys got to understand that. It's all over different outlets in different parts of the country. As far as the Celtics go, I don't understand this team. They get one great player on the team, and they just find a way to win. They are amazing. But in reality, Cleveland lost the game last night. Look at their percentage of shooting. I mean, that was ridiculous for that team.
They sucked, Tony. Other than LeBron in the first 5 minutes and Kyle Korver there for a stretch in the second, no one did anything. They blew. No
All right,
question.
So it doesn't count for this. It doesn't count as a really good win for the Celtics again, because the Cavs were playing another back-to-back for the second time last week, and they were gassed. Oh, who's had the most front-loaded schedule in the NBA? Who's played 41 games in 79 days as of last night? The Celtics. That's who. So I don't want to hear. You know what? As I've thought more about it, enough with giving the Cavs a pass last night. It was like, oh, it was a bad night for them because it was the second of a back-to-back, and they've had a few recently. I don't want to hear it. No one's had more games in the first half than the Celtics, and they showed up last night.
They showed up last night. How would you say they've been over the last month?
It's been tough for them. And sure, if you want to make that excuse for them, fine. But I've heard a little bit too much of that when it comes to the Cavs last night.
Oh, see, I think the schedule for the Celtics has absolutely been a factor. I think that they started to fade there because, you know, they played a lot of games. What are they, 9-8 or 9-6?
So you say they could even be better than the record would indicate.
Yeah, they showed up last night. but it hasn't been there night in and night out.
The Celtics have caught the Cavs. They've caught him.
So the Celtics' excuse after the February 11th game, the Celtic fan excuse will be, well, it's their third game in four nights, you can't put anything in that game.
In that stretch, it's their third and fourth nights?
Yeah.
Here is Jim in the Berkshires on Bill Belichick. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I agree that it's very possible Belichick would not be here at the end of the season, but I do think that the possibility exists that he leaves to go to another team. And the reason I'm saying it is because after your show last week, when you were questioning why the trade Garoppolo went down the way it did and as quickly as it did, and you couldn't imagine Belichick waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I think I'll give San Francisco a call. Spontaneity is not in his vocabulary. Spiteful is, but not spontaneity. I think this was a situation where he absolutely was forced to trade Garoppolo against his will. And
you think that's going to drive him out, Jim?
I think it's going to drive him out. I think it's going to drive him out. And interesting if it does.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, thank you for the call. I don't. I get pissed him off, of course. And this other thing that I'm talking about, in fact, he may have to, and this isn't anyone's fault, it's just the way it's broken down, but if, again, we had Adam Schefter on earlier, we didn't have him on, and we played the sound of him on ESPN saying that, you know, just his tone was that McDaniels and Patricia are good as gone. Like, just the way he delivered that report felt like it's a fait accompli, they're gone. So, if Bill Belichick loses both his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator, he's got to bring two young kids along in both spots. And if one of these coordinators takes Nick Caserio, the personnel head, along with him, that could be another guy. And there's no guarantee of that. So Nick may be here, maybe he's not. But there's a chance Nick would go. So then he's got to bring a young kid up on defense, bring a young kid up on offense. He's got to promote someone and groom a kid in personnel. And he has to go back, most importantly of all, and hardest of all, go find another quarterback and start that four-year process all over that he just completed with Jimmy Garoppolo. Bill Belichick is 65 years old. I do not think that's where he thought he was going to be at 65 years old, you know, in his remaining 3, 4, 5, whatever he's got left. So I just think that's a really hard spot for him. And I think it's going to put a lot on him. And there may be a strain there, meaning just a strain of responsibility if he's got to bring two guys in at once. Never mind the new quarterback thing. But you know what? But I don't think he's going anywhere.
I can't imagine that he would ever leave here for another team. I can see him walking and saying, I'm getting on my boat, me and my Bucks and Blonde, and here we go. Adios.
So I might see that. Like maybe, like, I 99% in my mind, he's coming back. So maybe I'll give you a 1% chance he would walk away. I don't think he would ever go to another team. And all these issues we've talked about, Maz, Guerrero, Brady, Garoppolo, Belichick, Kraft, I think they're all real. We haven't made anything up. I think these are all existed, and it's created some strain and some waves down there. Like, there's some issues down there. But I don't think it's going to affect, it doesn't mean, and I don't think that, at the end of the day, that's not going to drive Belichick away to another team. It's not going to drive Brady away to another team. They're all, cooler heads will prevail. Because this is what I think in my heart. This isn't going to be the Dallas Cowboys. It's not going to be the old Niners with the DeBartolo fit. Like, this thing is not going to fall apart over ego and that sort of thing. I just don't see it. I don't feel it. I feel they're all pissed off. I feel like all these things are real. But at the end of the day, are they going to let an ego clash break this thing up and end this? Is that how it's going to end?
Well, it depends how you define ego clash. I mean, what if Brady's not the same player going forward?
Well, that's different.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let me connect the dots for you. What if he's not the same player going forward, and didn't his ego essentially potentially force Garoppolo out?
Okay,
I mean,
so,
if we believe the theory that he went to Kraft and said, what's this guy still doing here? What's that?
So that's taking it one step further. Like, I mean, that's like a gradation of it. I'm just saying, this isn't Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. This isn't going to be Belichick. You wouldn't let me take my quarterback. You made a personal move for me, so I'm out of here. Like, that's not... I don't feel
why,
that.
Why are they impervious to that?
Because I feel they are. I do.
That pettiness is just, it's such a human...
Kraft did it already. Kraft did it already, and he's still stung by it. He's still scarred by it. He still hates the criticism he gets of losing Parcells. It stung him. It stung those guys deeply. That they let Bill Parcells go over an ego clash, and that still hurts them, that they got that criticism. It took them a while to get over it. I don't know if they're still over it. And so... I think that they're going to be very mindful of that, and I think Bill Belichick doesn't want to be Parcells. I guess they patched it up now, but Bill hated Parcells for years, for always making it about him, always jumping to the next job, always putting himself in front of the team, and Bill was dead set on never being Bill Parcells and never carrying himself like Bill Parcells. Now he's going to force his way out. Like, I just don't see that happening, And I see the same thing with Brady. Like, that's why I thought they would defer to Brady and not Garoppolo. They're not going to... When this thing ends, it's going to end because they get too old and they're not going to be able to do it anymore. or they're going to walk away before that time. But there's not going to be a clash of egos that's going to drive out the quarterback or the coach. I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
I mean, to me, if I'm Belichick, the one that would, if it were ever going to drive me away, it'd be the quarterback thing. It'd be the Garoppolo thing. And it's not just about the legacy of winning with Jimmy G. It's about what he believes in and the program and all of it. And if you look at it and say, I set this thing up to do what I've always done, which is long-term, hand the keys to the next guy, keep the machine running. I set it up that way. I had it perfectly placed, and you stepped in and messed it up. So now I have to go draft who?
So look, if you're telling me that he says that and says, so look, you didn't let me run my football team the way I wanted to. Now I've got to start all over at that position, and that's a long haul. Never mind, I've lost my staff. I'm 65 years old. I'm only going to do this for another 3 years anyway, so maybe I just stop now. Like, if you tell me that's a scenario, I'll give that a 1% chance. We'll give you a half a 1% or something like that.
I mean, to me, that's the one, the Garoppolo thing. If Belichick believed in Garoppolo, and I believe that he did, okay, if he believed in him, he had him lined up to be the next guy, and then the owner says no.
Yeah, I think Bill's going to swallow it.
He probably will.
I think he has.
But I'm telling you,
tough pill to swallow.
If anything would drive him out, that would drive him out.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Due to the various uncertainties surrounding my position as it relates to the team's new ownership, I've decided to resign as the head coach of the New York Jets.
24 hours. You don't even run a practice. You don't even look your quarterback in the eyes in 24 hours, and you resign by writing, I resign as head coach, on a napkin? That's the team I root for. The coaches finish dinner and decide they're going to resign as head coach, and they write it on a napkin and submit it, and that was the end of the Jets-Belichick era.
My reaction was, we don't even mean enough to him to actually write out the words. It would have taken too much effort and energy to actually put in the EAD in head and the OACH in coach. And worst of all, the OORC et.
Well, that was a humdinger. That was a good one.
That might have been my peak obsession with this team. And I'm still nuts about them. But at that point, I read everything. And I just wanted Dom Capers so bad to be the next head coach of this team. Imagine if it ended up being that guy. Belichick, he didn't do crap in Cleveland. Give me Dom Capers.
Dude, that sequence of years in terms of talk show fodder. Parcells to Pete to Bill with all that crap going on. It was unbelievable.
Do you remember reading my stuff, Murray?
I do.
Okay, because at that time, I was one of the few guys that said that they have, because people forget it's lost to history, but when Bill walked away, most people here did not connect him to New England. I mean, they thought there was some connection, but Will McDonough, among others, the whole Globe crew is like, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. Parcells isn't letting him go. Bill Parcells isn't letting him go. Even if the Patriots want him, which we don't even know that. And by the way, most of the people in town didn't want Belichick because he was a disaster in Cleveland. And no matter how many times you try and rewrite that, he was a disaster in Cleveland. It was a disaster. And very few people wanted. The local media mostly did not want him. And I had heard that someone just told me when this happened, they say, watch out. Just keep an eye on this. And people forget, he didn't come right here. He tried to get out of his contract first. It took weeks, months. I mean, I don't remember exactly what the time frame was. But you had to give up a first-round pick to get him out of New York because Parcells wouldn't let him out of his contract. Bill had it in his contract that when Parcells retired, he had to be the head coach. He took $1 million from the old owner, Leon Hess, to be the next coach. And when Bill walked away, he still was under, the Jets still had his rights. So that's why you ultimately had to give up a first-round pick. Bill tried to break the contract. He hired Jeffrey Kessler. He fought the league, went to court. They lost. Kessler lost again.
Good dig.
And so that's why you had to give up the first-round pick for Parcells, but it took for Belichick, but it took weeks.
Oh, I remember being so mad, too. We're giving up stuff for this guy? He hasn't done anything. He's an underling of Parcells. He's not going to be just as good as Parcells. Get me Dom Capers. Dom Capers. Oh, God.
So 18 years later, we're talking about him going into his, what would be his fifth coordinator change on offense, his sixth coordinator change. He's had the same quarterback, though. Isn't that unbelievable?
Incredible. I mean, really, again, it all comes, they went 5-11 in the first year. Like, not that they had, but it was hardly the type of thing that inspired confidence. And then they were 0-2. when Mo Lewis...
They were 0-2. Yeah, they were 5-11, 0-2, and there's people who maintain that Bill would not have made it through the year. And if they had stayed on that pace, Belichick would not have made it through the year.
And then all of a sudden, here comes TB12, and here comes the Vinatieri kicks, plural. And then all of a sudden, history's changed forever.
Is that right? I'm talking to Jimmy off the air. There's a great picture of Kraft and Belichick when they finally settled the contract, driving into old Foxborough Stadium, and a bunch of reporters standing by the chain link fence waiting for them to get in or drive out of the parking lot, and I'm in it. And the Globe won't let them use the photo?
That's correct. That's what I was just told.
That's so lame. You don't see a fat Felger face. Woof. All right, so anyway, that happened 18 years
the
ago
Globe.
Today. 18 years ago today.
You're probably eating cotton candy while you're waiting for him to come out of the car.
Here's Sergio in Rhode Island on the Celtics. Hi, Sergio.
Fried dough.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. What do you got, Sergio? Go.
Well, so I noticed there's been a previous talk earlier in the show about the Celtics and how they're a very young, you know, quick, fast team. But besides Kyrie, maybe not to have too many veterans in the playoffs. Now, in my mind, you know, you gentlemen have probably heard this quote, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, possibly pursuing a veteran as they continue their playoff run, such as perhaps Udonis Haslem, would improve the chances of the team becoming more mature, also having a young coach, Brad Stevens.
Okay, let me just stop you. One thing working against the Celtics is they're young. Generally, young teams don't win in the playoffs.
Right.
So that's general. I mean, I'll absolutely grant you that. Except Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Marcus Morris. You know, is Marcus Smart still a young player?
No.
I don't think he is.
He's been around long enough now, and he knows what the play. He's been good in the playoffs.
Right.
He was last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is Rozier still young or not?
Not really, no. He's a different player now. I mean, you know, first time...
Numerically, they are, but in terms of experience,
right.
No.
So, I think it's...
They're an odd thing in the NBA, which is a combination of young and old. You don't see many teams like that. Spurs perfected it there for a little while, but the Celtics are rare in that way. This is the beauty of building it the way they built it.
Mike on Cape Cod wants something, or has something on Jim Murray. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. First-time caller. I just got a couple of comments I want to make. First of all, I've been on the phone for an hour. It's like I get Chinese food faster on New Year's Eve than getting through to this guy. You guys, that's a compliment to your show.
Thank you.
How much we learn here. But I won't be calling back anytime soon, but one thing earlier in the day ticked me off, and I'm coming to the defense of Murray about the candy asses that drive on the road in the snow. And to be honest with you, I drive for a living. I preach to my family about not driving in the snow. Don't go out there. And I'll leave you on this, Felga. And as if I see you in a ditch, I say you deserve what you get.
Yeah, generally
right?
speaking.
Thanks a lot, guys, for
absolutely.
Taking the call.
Okay, baby.
Thanks,
no
Mike.
Problem. Yep. There was a little BMW that spun out in front of me today on the way to work. I was like blew right by. I'm like, dude, you obviously don't know how to drive and you got the wrong car, so you shouldn't even be out here. You'll be fine. Someone will come get you. But I was thrilled because this person was driving 5 miles an hour, and this is what led me to believe, like, yeah, you're supposed to drive slow. I got you. But if you have to drive so slow that it proves to me that you don't know how to drive, you're scared to drive today, or you don't have the proper car, then you shouldn't be on the road. So he spun right out in a snowbank. I'm like, perfect. Blew right by him and said, you'll be fine. Someone will come get you. You'll be fine. So, yeah, I have no sympathy, it's basically. So this is we've uncovered
this,
the picture.
Yeah.
So I don't know what led to this conversation, but this was during Deflategate. And we got some big snows during Deflategate, right? And, you know, Maz and I had some pointed commentary on the Patriots during those times.
Maybe.
So I came home one day, and that, if you're watching the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, was what was in my front door. They dumped all the snow at the end of my street.
A little spike dump.
In front of my house. And I had to, that was like The Shining. Like, I had to dig this maze from the street to my door to get to my home.
Look yeah, because Murph, who drives the plow, is a Pats fan. He lives in Felga's town. He lives in the same town as Felga. And he decided to dump all the snow right on his front walk just to say, hey, Felga,
look at
you.
That.
He gave Felga the snow finger.
Would you look at that? Look at the size of that.
That's definitely on purpose.
Keeps calling Brady a cheetah. The snow finger.
So I did. I gave him the snow finger. I did. It was the snow finger. I baked this big finger, and I covered it with snow, and I dropped it right in his face.
Brian in Woburn. Go ahead, Brian.
That is great. Mike, love you mean it, but sometimes you do try way too hard to be a bit much, and you complaining and questioning why the world isn't it, why your building is almost empty during the blizzard when the Bruins actually postponed their game. Sort of shows that. But that's not why I called. The reason I called, Mike, is it's coaching carousel time. Lot of talk, obviously, about McDaniels and Patricia going, and our Bobby Schefter saying it's pretty much a done deal. But then again, he said Jimmy wasn't being traded, and he was. So let's say McDaniels goes through the interview process, and he goes to the Colts and the Giants and the Detroit, and then decides to not take a job. Is that any indication?
Yes.
That means that he is the next head coach of the New England Patriots, and Bill's tenure is pretty much either almost over or closer to over than we think it is.
I would read it that way, Brian. I would. Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And if I'm Josh, this is part of my calculus. Do I go start over somewhere else with a high failure rate? Or do I just, if it means I have to wait another year or two and go into a good situation, even though I don't have a quarterback and, you know, like, we can debate whether how good of a situation it is. I would definitely consider that. If Josh stays, what does that mean about Bill's tenure? No, I absolutely agree.
Unless Bill hasn't told him. As you're saying that, and I'm getting sinister here, okay? If you wanted to get really sinister about it, Belichick loses Garoppolo, Patricia goes, McDaniels goes, and then Belichick says, I'm out. And he leaves Kraft with no quarterback, no coordinators, no head coach.
See, I don't feel it's going to end this way.
I didn't say it was. I just said if you want to get really sinister.
Oh, my God, that is sinister.
And then he gets on the boat with Linda, and he gives Kraft the snow finger. There's the finger, if you've ever seen the finger. Gets on the boat with his buxom blonde, with no quarterback, no coordinators, no coach. Adios. How do you like that scenario?
See, I just think it's going to... I feel this is going to be a relatively happy ending. And you're
probably right. At least as it pertains to Belichick and Kraft.
And the biggest sort of, you know, it doesn't end well for anyone, right? Like, that's just a rule in sports. It just doesn't end well for anyone. It didn't end well for Ray Bourque. It didn't end well for Bobby Orr. It didn't end well for you just name it. Like, it just doesn't end well for most players and most situations. I think this one will. And I just don't feel like they're going to be the Dallas Cowboys. I don't feel that they're going to be the San Francisco 49ers where the owners are at each other's throats and they have to sue each other. I just don't see that. I see them getting old and walking away.
Well, look, the best chance of that happening, and I say the best chance, I'm just saying if you were going to play the odds, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm saying the best chance of it getting ugly on some level was if Belichick cut ties with Brady.
Well, I think the closest we've gotten to it is this Garoppolo thing and the Guerrero thing. Like, there's been some scratchiness here at the end. And that's as close as we're going to get to it. I don't think it's going to get worse. But you know what? Who knows? Caller, by the way, the Bruins canceled the game not because of the snow. They canceled because of you. Because you don't know how to drive. Or you're scared to drive.
And I'm the one who said that the building was empty.
Yes, I don't care that the building's empty. It's empty anyway.
And the beauty of saying that now is I can say it without even ripping our own people. Because none of them work here anymore anyway. In fact, I'm ripping the competition, those lazy bastards. Don't be afraid to come to work, you chumps.
So, people are the problem. The drivers are the problem, not the snow. Your car was built to go through the snow. It will go through the snow, but you just don't know how to get it through the snow. So that's the problem. It's you.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So the snow had me all hot and bothered today because, unfortunately, it's a lot of things beyond my control. Start of the day, knowing, hey, all I got to do is walk up the street, get on the commuter rail, bang, right at TD Garden. Easy peasy. Then the Bruins had to go cancel that game, and I got mad. So this led to this argument about driving in here today. I didn't like it. Ucorn Cornelius, two times over here. Apparently didn't have much of an issue.
Jim Mary.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.